The opinions expressed on End Time do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Impro Mafia. But just because I'm wholly accountable for my actions isn't going to stop me.
Impro Mafia presents End Time!
Welcome to End Time, a podcast for improvisers and aspiring improvisers. That is the intro that Dan normally uses, but Dan has no voice. And so you have me, Natalie, here in Canberra outside the Brasserie Little Brussels pub, surrounded by three extremely large glasses of beer and three incredibly talented and generous improvisers. So we'll start with Mr. Nick Byrne from Canberra.
Hello.
Miss Patty Stiles from Melbourne.
Hey, everyone.
And Marco, oh, I can't pronounce your surname.
Well, then it has to stay at Marco. Marco, there's various pronunciations.
So. Is it?
Yeah, so the anglicised was Mustak, but the original is Mustach.
Mustach.
Mm. And no one ever says that.
Croatian.
But it's much sexier.
Mm. Yeah, but people just go, they just get it wrong.
I say Mustak, but I'm liking the I'm liking the at the
see,
I'm going
say
with
it,
the
say it.
Mustache.
Oh, see, you're sexier.
Thank you.
It's like 20% sexier.
Yeah. Every time you 20? Say it, you go
you know,
up.
You know when you started this and you said around me I have three very large. I thought you were going to say people. I'm
holding.
You don't realize it was the beers.
No,
well,
everyone.
You guys are tall. Yeah, I'm not really in that category, so I was worried about how I would fit in there.
Oh, very good.
Really.
But you're all drinking equally the same ridiculous amount of beer.
Oh, it's stupid German-sized beers.
Oh, Belgium.
Well, Belgium. Really. Yes, so I won't talk about German
so
beers.
So I guess the first thing is to say how much of a surprise it is to find a bunch of improvisers at a pub drinking heavily.
Never, ever happens.
I know, so this might be a once in a lifetime.
We might need to document it.
That's right.
It's one of the unique initiatives we've provided this festival.
Yeah. Well, we should start.
I really
with
am
festival.
Only having one.
We had to sign a public liability form because they said you are going to do these activities against the improviser protocol.
Well,
and I'm just...
Patty's holding her glass and it's bigger than her head.
Look, I've got small hands and this. I feel like I'm a child.
It is a bit like
you need
that,
a sippy cup. You need a little leaf.
Mummy, I need a straw.
What cigarette's smaller than the old days? Has to be a giant packet. Mm.
The listeners need to know I will soldier on with
that's,
them.
That's right. She'll give it a red Aussie go. Mm. So,
we'll
start
by the way,
me.
No, but you did miss out something else. You missed out that although we are at the Brussels Hotel, we're across the road from the Top Cat Dry Cleaners, which is 24-hour access.
Which is going to be helpful for the people who've already had beer spilled over them tonight.
Cause, you're trying to tell your stalker where you are.
Yeah.
I know what's going on. Maybe they'll arrive.
And we are outside, so this conversation will probably end when we all get too cold.
I'm Canadian. You guys are screwed. We're not going anywhere.
Nick and Patty are like, we're drinking icy cold beer.
This is summer weather for us Canucks.
I suppose so, but haven't you adjusted yet? You've become an Australian now? In your ability.
Look, I will admit I do get cold, but not when people go, oh, it's so bloody cold. I go, no.
See, I think this is pretty cold.
Yeah, see, minus 30 is cold.
Yeah, well, it is.
But you wouldn't go outside at all in minus 30.
Yeah, you do.
You do?
How often does it get to be minus 30 in Canberra?
Well, yesterday, and it was probably 3 days before that.
Minus 30?
Yeah.
Liar.
What? Fahrenheit, maybe.
It was minus 3.
Minus. Look at Patty had so much disgust.
Okay.
Minus three.
Plus or minus.
Think what Lisa did to hear about improvisers.
Sorry, every time I'm on the podcast, I talk about everything else.
Just go ahead and dispel the myth of Canberra.
Well, Canberra is a lovely city, and it is home to the first improvention.
Mm. Yeah.
The very first.
The beach today. That was great.
The brand.
Nice segue.
We have been here now for 2 days. This is the end of day two. And I sadly leave tomorrow, so I wanted to chat to everyone
here.
No! I know, it's terrible.
The festival will end.
Daytime or nighttime? Like you see the
show? Midday.
Oh, no, so this is it.
Yeah, this is it. So that's why I wanted to chat to everyone now.
Unless we don't let her get to the plane.
Let's do it.
They might tie me down with their gigantic beer glasses. So, Nick, what was the rationale, the reasoning, the inspiration behind Improvention?
Well, it struck me that the improvisers that I've been fortunate enough to meet, I truly believe the most talented people I know, and yet we exist in a genre where that passion is rarely applied in a full-time and viable sense. So I see a need to attack the initiatives that will drive improv forward in the more of a national level, not in a way that affects the autonomy of individual companies, but in ways in which we can cooperate to raise our national profile and to obviously expose each other like this to our artistic development.
At that point,
and so
on. He took off his shirt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was also conscious of the fact, you know, having been lucky enough to travel to some of your festivals interstate and having had our own here, to note that when we discuss matters like this, it's usually like now, over a beer, after shows and so on. And
did have a meeting.
Yeah. There was a great need for us to sit down in a situation where the focus of the event to some degree was a convention to drive this stuff forward.
Fantastic. So you've already come up with two initiatives. One is to very generously open up your website, which is impro.com.au, to actually include links to all of the impro companies. So people who are just doing a search for impro might come across that.
You've thought about this, haven't you? That's no. Very good. That's fantastic.
Well, I'm a journalist, so I kind of try to absorb things.
No, I'm enjoying it. This is good.
Okay.
Keep going.
Well, you're a bit cold, so do you want me to rub your leg there? Rubbing my
leg. Okay, that's a little too much. I'm enjoying this. Shall I rub your leg? Sorry, listeners. It was all innocent.
Yeah, that's
Marco
what
took off
do.
His pants at that point.
It's because you said that.
That's true.
Well, indeed. I've already taken off my bra once this evening.
Oh. So you did on stage. That was wonderful. That was a lovely surprise.
Yeah,
and it was aimed at me as a gun, as a weapon. Double-barreled.
It was an over-the-shoulder boulder holder job.
She did. It was hilarious. It was a beautiful part of the show towards the end.
Did you end up wearing earmuffs?
I was helping them escape from the French jail.
Yes.
I saw the bra, I just threw my hands up.
I think that moment will go a long way to convincing industry people that might be seeing this convention that we are indeed an art form.
Yes, yeah, we are. And so the other thing is the National Impro Calendar. So for people listening, what will a calendar do for, you know, I guess, raising awareness of interstate impro events or inter-country impro events?
Sure. Well, the calendar as we have it, and I don't expect that to be the final version or the final format by any means, but the simple, readily available Google calendar that artistic directors and major instigators of impro projects could have access to edit and so on and just load in all their events. So like what has occurred this very week when we programmed Improvention at the same time as Mafia had an event programmed, we can avoid such clashes, we can maximise the availability of visiting talent, we can look at ways to streamline tours of international visitors, people travelling from one city to another, whether for the purpose of impro or whether for other professional reasons, can readily access where the impro gigs are on, connect with other improvisers in other towns.
Because it's actually a dirty little secret, and that's that for a long time, there's been so much going on in this country. Mm. Yet when you look internationally, people often go, well, what's going on? When they look back at Australia, and they sort of think some people are doing something over there, something whatever. Whereas when you travel from here over to somewhere else, you go, oh, they seem to be so plugged in and all connected to each other. Mm. And I think that, like with these initiatives, when this starts to happen, which it already is, I mean, it really is, then people will arrive and go, oh, you really do all this stuff? You really do so much? Because there's so much on offer in this culture, and it's only going to grow. And somebody had to start pulling everything together. Mm. I told you before that you're neutral territory. We come to the Canberra and go, well, it's playtime.
Right.
What did you call it? Geneva.
Geneva.
Yeah, it's Geneva.
Yeah.
It's like everyone can just kind of go, oh,
yeah.
Well, Patty, you're here as Impro Melbourne, but also in your relatively recent occupation as ITI coordinator representative for Oceania.
Is that a problem?
So, probably not, but maybe we can get him to close it. He might close it in a second anyway.
Is it possible? We're doing an interview for radio. Can we close the door for just another 5 minutes? Thank you. You're very kind.
He's a very, very...
Thank you.
At this point, the generous man closed the door.
And took his pants off.
Took his pants off.
And we all went, yay! Or it was only me.
So, Patty, the ITI, to give a brief overview, has recently changed its management style and its board. What's the focus now for the ITI?
The focus of the ITI is to follow through on the original dream, which is to create and enhance the community of theatre sports, maestro, guerrilla, and life games. So basically, the formats that Keith Johnstone created and developed, and people who are working in Keith's work, to bring that community together, to help educate the community, to connect the community, to inspire the community, and to have that work flourish. There's been a lot of misinterpretation of Keith's work, a lot of misrepresentation of Keith's work, and the community, because of the distance between us and Poland and Brazil and South Africa and Japan and, you know, North America and Europe, we don't get to play and connect. When I lived in Canada and worked at Loosemouth Theatre, we would go to festivals continually. There would be five or six events a year you would go to. And it was just a part of the improv community. And that's still continuing. Not as much in the theater sports world as we would like, and that's what we're aiming to change. But the festivals, when you Google Impro Festivals North America, there's something happening somewhere pretty much every weekend. And Australia doesn't have that opportunity. So Improvention really gives us that chance to start that here, to inspire the community here. And it's an excellent time because the ITI is trying to re-inspire and connect. Canberra is re-inspiring and connecting, and it's just a rebirth and refocus of who we are as improvisers, who we are as practitioners of theater sports, and who we are as creative artists.
And this is the other question I wanted to ask you. In Brisbane, and obviously coming from Brisbane...
Brisbane,
the Vague. We own the theatre sports licence.
Yeah.
We haven't performed it. It's been problematic for us finding a time and a place to perform it when we have other shows that have been quite successful and we've been really developing our long form. What would you say to Brisbane members listening, or maybe other places that have theatre sports or haven't done it for a while, or have the licence but haven't done anything with it? You're really keen on re-inspiring and reinvigorating theatre sports as a form. What's the attraction of it for people who maybe have done it, haven't done it for a while, maybe aren't interested or don't think it holds anything for them anymore? How would you bring them back in to get them keen on it again?
Wow, that's a big question.
No,
you should. You're a journalist. You need to ask the big questions. And it's good to be asked questions that you go, wow, let me think about that. For the people who have never played theatre sports, it's an art form that inspired the world. The reason we have such an active and vibrant improvisation community internationally is because of Keith Johnstone's work and the growth and development of that through the form theatre sports. Yes, Del Close was incredibly influential, as was Viol Spolin and Paul Sills. I don't discredit their work, but theater sports is the word that people go, our show is like, we've learned from. It is this, because theater sports seems to be the spine that people can connect to and play and come together with. And I think a part of that is because of the original aims that Keith was trying to instill in the work. He wanted to make actors look real and available on stage. So therefore, you remove the fear of the actor, which makes a whole creative world possible, which inspires us as performers. It's a freeing form within the nature of the work. You set it in a competition format that realistically, in our playing style, we're not competing, but the competition is a part of the theatrical element, which we get to use to motivate and move the audience. So you play internally and externally, which really is what you're doing in any form of theater. You're on stage, you're living the lines, but you're aware of the connection with the audience. So it trains the actor, but it also makes a form of theater that's accessible to an audience that might be afraid of theater. You can come to theater sports in your jeans and your t-shirt. You don't have to get dressed up. The prices are economical for most people. And you get to watch theater being created in front of you through a pure, organic, creative process that you get to be involved in. This type of show, you're not going to get at any other theater. You're going to get pathos, and you're going to get hilarity. But you're also going to get directors throwing people off stage. You'd never get that at the MTC. So it's unpredictable in its style and its form. It's raw, it's energetic, it's real.
And is it still unique? Does it still offer things that other forms of improv don't?
Yes, it does. At the heart and the core of the work, it does. I think with a lot of forms, once it develops in time and age, and Marco was talking about this, you know, today in our wonderful talk sessions, if you're not working on the form, if you're not re-engaging with the form, if you're not pushing the boundaries as artists, the form can become tired. A lot of improvisers are coming to theater sports going, I want the show to make me happy. No, you have to come as a performer wanting to inspire your fellow players. You don't come for them to give you a good time, you come to give them a good time. And once you reconnect to that, which is the true nature of our work, the show opens up. If you're playing theater sports and it's tired, then as a performer, you're tired. And you need to pull up your bootstraps because you're getting a paying audience to watch you. So recommit, re-inspire. Last year in the theater sports season, we gave poor Tim Rudman a hell of a time. Myself, Rama Nicholas, and Sarah Kinsella decided our whole show, because we were a team, every single show, we were going to mess with Tim. So I threw him into scenes with masked characters that he's never seen or played with. We would do scenes where all three of us were coming on to him and he didn't know what the hell was going on. We would put him into scenes where anything he said, we would do the opposite. But that was our joy to inspire him. And therefore, we were inspired. If you're tired in improv, then you're tiring in improv. It's an open form that you bring yourself to and you get to make happen.
So the idea would be for companies kind of questionable how they could do... how they would do, Marco standing up and jogging, how they would do, it won't be long, Marco. So your thing would be to find a way of doing theatre sports that would inspire them rather than going, oh, we're just going to do theatre sports because we've been told to.
It's so. Not just theatre sports. Theatre sports is an enlightening, enriching, amazing format. It's not just theatre sports. I'm not going to allow anybody to say that in front of me anymore. This is a... We are here right now because of theatre sports. You started in theatre sports, Marco.
Yeah, absolutely.
So did I. So did you. Well, yeah, you did. Your connection was through Sydney. Yeah. We are here because of that. There are so many amazing people. Whose line is it anyway? It's because of theatre sports.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God you're here. It's because of theatre sports.
So it's not dead. It just... needs re-inspiration, or people need to remember its true nature and its true beginning.
It needs inspiration.
Actually, what it is, it's
connection.
Other things have to be played out. Like in Sydney, we've got a lot of newer people who struggle with short form, as they call it, struggle with a theatre sports thing where it's a little bit shorter, and so they think if they're given the freedom of a long form, then it's going to be so much better. Yet the truth of the matter is, if you can't do something, tell a story beautifully in 2 or 4 or 5 minutes, then why should 30 minutes be any better? In fact, you see these disasters happen where people just amble on in this. I mean, why does a great TV show, a great movie, or a great theatre play need someone to sweat and labour for months writing this amazing script to blend all, direct it to shape it all? Because when you go continuously on one theme for an hour and a half, there's so much you need, and often we just bumble along, and often people see this long form as a safety thing because they think, oh, I'm not getting much of a reaction for 5 minutes, but that doesn't matter because I've got an hour and a half and I'm being really deep.
That's exactly.
But often they're playing rather poorly.
Yes.
And you kind of go, look, and I've had a lot of the people who played for a long time, like Michael Gregory and people like that, who just turn around and say, look, for goodness sake, if I've got performers who can do the short form, who can play a brilliant theatre sports 5 minute scene or a longer scene or theatre sports style scene, then I can't wait to see them tackle something big.
Well, and longer, the same principles
because
apply.
They're brilliant, but a lot of people look at the long stuff as a cheap way out, honestly. Well, and I see it, and you kind of go, come on, show me how you can do all those other things. And it can be very exciting. Because I say, the reason people like theatre sports is because they go, oh, it's the same old thing. Certain aspects of it are, but I can still say after all these years that some of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen is when there's 3 or 4 people up on a stage and they actually are confined to maybe 4 or 5 minutes max. And they've got a game or some kind of scene that we know of that's a bit tricky, and you go, can they pull this off?
You
and they
do something, each other.
They do something amazing.
Yeah, I remember.
They do something amazing, and you remember, you go, I can't believe anyone could have achieved that in 4 minutes.
Not this past year, the year before, when we played the Nationals, one of the scenes we set up was a member from each team doing a die game and song.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
And you walked up, and as I was describing it, you looked at me like I was insane. Yes, and your eyes sparkled, and I went, you've never played this.
No, it's like, oh, tell me.
But if your theater sports is tired, it's because you've stopped inspiring your players. In that moment,
I agree.
You were inspired.
Yeah, I agree.
And all it took was for me backstage to go, I wonder what these cities have never played that we might play at home.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I want to be brilliant or funny. I don't give a damn about the belt or the title. Great in advertising. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I want Marco to light up and to remember that, because that means more to me than any title, because that's authentic and real to our work. And when you were playing it, you were alive and you were in. And I thought, after 20 plus years, to get you there, that was a joy.
I was an audience member in that show, and the audience, and certainly me as an audience member and an improviser, were inspired by that offer, thinking, oh my God, you know what? Here's the risk. Here's the stakes. Here's the reduction in safety, and people step up to the plate when the stakes are raised.
If you play theater sports to be successful and funny and safe and good, the show's gone. If you play it to have risk and take chances and allow failure and embrace failure and enjoy success, the form is alive. That's the point of the form.
And here's the other side of things, which is, you don't even have to ask me the question. Because there is always that excitement and that edginess that happens with that can happen with theater sports, also comes with, there's a certain beauty contest element to it. This is what actually creates a bit of an edge to people's playing, because you can see it matters to them. So we say it really doesn't matter, but I can tell you that for most people, if they don't feel they've done well, they do walk away feeling a bit gutted, or they feel like, oh, why should it? And it creates a kind of weird energy to it, which is where
the show matters.
Oh, the show's fantastic.
It's not the competition. The show and the audience matters.
But you see, ultimately, I think with a lot of performers, they go home and they do feel bruised. And that's
in the competition?
Where, yeah.
That's the difference between Australia and Canada.
Yeah, but this was
I would go to competitions and deliberately try to lose.
That's your personality.
No,
there are still
it's
a lot
our
of
company.
People, probably. But there's still a lot of people I know who will be struggling with it, which is where the cast show, it can be a beautiful release and relief, where you walk into a show and you know that you have your hat on a thing. You are in the show. There's not a question of I'm competing against anybody, which creates the frisson and the energy of an improv show, even if you're not taking it seriously. There's an energy that comes with it. But that's where all the stuff I was talking about.
Yes.
When you do a different kind of show, you go, I love, but I see, I want both. You see, I simply want both. I want what theater sports has got. And then I want to turn around and be in a cast show where we go, we're going to try and do the most amazing thing we can. And there's only five of us.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm going to be on all night. Yeah. And there's a certain energy that comes with that.
Totally. I was just answering that. Natalie's original question about theater sports.
No, I was just preempting her question to me.
And I have
you're
to
a politician,
say,
then.
it's not my style of play. It's the Loose Moose style of play. There's so many festivals that we would go to because Loose Moose is Keith's representation company. You'd go to a theater or an event and people would go, oh, you're Keith's kids or you're Keith's group. And immediately there's a status and that's bizarre. It's weird. Let me finish. So we would look around, and if there was a company that was brand new, we would deliberately try to get lower points in our match with them so that they would feel good, because if they could beat Calgary, then they would be more confident, and then the audience gets better work, and we all feel better about
those
the event.
Those companies are now listening, going, oh my God, they threw the game?
I'm sorry, Holland. Your sparkly, tight shorts were amazing, but when they did the M&M shtick, yeah, that was to make you feel better.
What kills theatre sports in Australia, and what has, is that it becomes a routine and people get tired of it.
Absolutely.
No,
I agree completely.
Okay. They used to kind of go, they go, oh, you mean I'm going to play those games again, do I?
But you don't.
And you don't. That's the whole point. I mean, theatre sports embraces the open challenge, any kind of challenge.
Yes!
So,
okay.
But people do get stuck. They get stuck in their mentality.
If you're tired in the show,
someone needs to
you're not their, bringing yeah. something
a,
to it.
It's a very fair point.
So we just need to, if we in Brisbane were to go, okay, let's put on a theatre sports show, we just need to sit down and go, well, what do we want to get out of a competitive format?
Well, what it is,
what can we do that's going to
you
inspire
get, you
each
You get
other
a very and, exciting show. There's no question about it, because the audience is on the edge of their seat. waiting for something. And it's kind of like you can do something that's a little bit long for me or whatever, and it can have an ambling kind of shape to it, and then it gets exciting, and then it slows down, and then it picks up, and whatever. Whereas a solidly played theatre spot show is like a rocket ship to the moon, and then in the middle of it, it stops into a beautiful slow. See, the other thing is that people often play theatre spots just for laughs, and it's desperately what we call lock and load. You just have your gags ready, you just wait for the jokes, and they play I call it stand-up improv.
Or pinball improv.
No, literally stand-up improv, because Seinfeld said, if you want to do stand-up, you need good material plus attitude. So you basically build an attitude for your character. So we get a lot of players who build a kind of comic character. No matter what the scene is, they're going to play that cool comic character who shoots the lines out when they come. And that's what kills it. But if you've got a great theatre sports night, you can have, suddenly you can have the funniest sequence of scenes followed by a scary, spooky scene that's genuinely scary and spooky.
Or beautiful.
And a beautiful romance and a beautiful
poetic
scene. You get everything.
Maybe
that's
variety.
What people should aim for.
Don't
you agree?
Completely.
That's what makes it a beautiful night.
Keith Johnstone's work is about creating improvised theater. Yes, theater sports is comedic, but as Keith would say, you can't make an audience laugh for 2 hours because they'll start coughing up bits of lung. You can't do soup followed by soup followed by soup.
But it's also,
what
even
you
more
need
than
to
that,
do,
is if you stay in that style, it means someone else can't do anything else, because
exactly,
the audience sits there and goes, well, you're not making me laugh, get off.
We would be
so
told
you've
off.
You've got to change it.
Keith would say to us at intermission at the Moose, if we, in the middle of a theater sports show, if the first half was funny, really, really funny, we'd go into the green room and he'd go, sorry, Keith, very, very bad impression, but you're never going to listen to this. But anyway, that was way too funny. There was no point. There was no family scenes. You didn't talk about politics once. What's the point of this? It's theater. You'll have to go out and be shit. They're not going to believe we're improvising. Oh, haven't I taught you anything? I'm sorry, I'll try to be a better teacher.
To me, the key point of my interpretation of what you're discussing is that you don't find the gold ever by attempting to be funny. You can find some bronze, but the gold in the night will always be the elements that have surprised the individual improviser as much as they surprised the audience at the moment.
It's, at its purest, it's in the moment. And the things that are discovered in the moment outshine anything that's semi-prepared or semi-polished. Or even if it's just an attitude or a character where you've gone, I've done this before and I know it's going to work,
and here I go. Know you have, and you better be really good at it.
We might as well
spend our valuable time digging for gold, not harvesting bronze.
Yeah. And I have to say, it's not just a theater sports thing. And on, what day are we? Thursday. Wednesday. Mm. Wednesday night. The scene I remember the most, and this is a classic example, every improv show you've seen, what do you remember? You can create hilarity, but it's cotton candy theater. You eat it, you get the sugar high, and it's gone. What I remember from that show was this amazing scene where someone was being trialed for a murder. It was edgy. It was real. It was paced. The improvisers were connected. Every word, every phrase had significance. And I could tell that those improvisers were walking a line that at any point that could have collided and crashed. The person being accused had multiple personalities. They were hearing voices from the past. They had someone interrogating them now. I can recall that. Can I tell you anything else that happened that half? Vaguely. But that scene, I remember. Was it funny? No. Do I remember it?
No.
Yes. And that is what we can create in our improv work. Make them laugh. Bring them in. Have a great time. But also give them something of significance.
Would you say maybe, I was just trying to think of a metaphor that might apply.
Think of a metaphor.
We're going to make you,
you can't say this too bad. Well, now think of a metaphor.
Cale Bain yesterday, Glenn Hall, every time Cale tried to come up with a metaphor, Glenn was sitting next to me and just sing out, shit, metaphor! And Cale would be like, shut up, man. But if maybe you would compare theatre sports to a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy, perhaps, in the way that it's become a routine.
Yeah.
That people have maybe, they've not sort of been there when it first started to get that real inspiration of the intention of the work.
Yeah.
They've heard it from someone who heard it from someone who did it once. And so maybe the message has been diluted, or the what you're supposed to do has become set or fixed. Yeah.
You know what it also is? It's fashion. You know, you have things come in and they go, and then for a while people get excited by a new Google, a new sort of like, oh, let's all do this. But it's the closest one to being able to show up somewhere and say, I'm ready to play.
Yes.
I mean, as I was telling you about my love of doing shows that are improvised, where there's no compositional cast and you rehearse and whatever. But with all those kind of things, you really need to work hard on a show and put, like any theatre show, put months and months in before you can present your amazing ideas and work to the public. But it really is the case with this kind of work, with theatre sports related stuff. And it is theatre sports and theatre sports related stuff where you go, you really can have developed yourself as an instrument, as a performer of your own instrument.
Yeah.
So you've learned to play the guitar and the guitar is you. And you literally can show up there somewhere and go, all these great players are here, let's together and play together. And literally walk in and play together. And that's amazing.
A beautiful example, in 1988, there was an amazing international event in Brisbane.
Really?
During the expo.
That's right.
Really?
Oh, you sparkled, yes.
Mark remembers that.
Oh, we got drunk so many times. It was a phenomenal deal.
Yeah, I was quite young at the time, so I was
in Brisbane. This is huge.
And I remember very clearly playing one night with the Swedish team.
The Swedish is all in white.
Yes. Oh, God, they were lovely.
They were like caricatures of Swedish people. Oh. They're all white and movie stars. They're movie stars and TV stars.
What no one knew was the Swedish team are, to this day and still, very famous Swedish actors.
Oh, okay.
Pia
Johansson is incredibly famous. I saw her a couple of years ago. We went out for coffee. Photos are being taken of her. People are asking for autographs.
And
like,
the drunken Danes from across the road.
Oh,
who are
Klaus and
drunk,
Klaus.
They were really
and,
well-known.
Of course.
Top theatre directors in the country.
Of course.
Who are so excited about coming all the way across the world to be in Australia, in Brisbane, to be part of this international festival.
Theatre sports is played at national theatre companies.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, so I was in this scene. Helga, there was Helga, Pia, Lennart, and Peter.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And I'm in a scene.
Anyone for tennis blonde people.
I think Barry was in that scene.
And lovely, gorgeous, wonderful people. I'm in a scene. I have no idea what's going on because it's a foreign film and they're speaking Swedish. Like, I know what's going on. They know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. And I remember starting the scene because no one else was on stage. And I do this dive. And I'm swimming.
I remember that.
And then suddenly I hear laughter and I'm going, what the hell happened? And I look over and Peter and Lennart are doing this amazing rowboat. They're on their asses on the floor of the stage in perfect unison doing this rowboat coming in. And I thought, well, I'm in trouble. So I started drowning. And they're speaking in Swedish. The next thing I know, these Swedish men are lifting me up and they're giving me mouth to mouth. And they don't cushion it. Because, you know, they don't have issues with that
kind of thing. Really, I'm surprised you weren't naked by that point.
Well, in my mind I was. I'm a young lady. I'm naive. I've got Swedish men kissing me. I have no idea what's going on. They're speaking Swedish. But we're creating a show because of this beautiful work we do that's about acceptance and listening and creating narratives and being connected. You can walk on stage with anybody. Language is just one vehicle, but the improv work becomes a whole other vehicle. I've performed in France, in Germany, you know, and I performed
in Germany English for 3 months with John Hudson from New Zealand. He's just so over the top. He's brilliant. And that was, they're amazing because you can actually perform. They can't believe theatre sports.
Yes.
And you can actually perform a slowed down version in English because their English is pretty good. And you physicalise it and go slow. And they give you 3 encores if you're bad. They give you 6 if you're good. So you just constantly go back.
The Germans love encores.
Aren't they amazing? What's going on there?
I don't know. The first show we did, we came off stage going, that's fun. No, now the encore. What? And we're dragged on going, what the hell? And you keep going.
Do 3 if you're okay, and then if you're better, they keep going.
Yeah. Did you have to sing the song?
No.
Oh, see, now, the German companies we play with, they all have a song to go, that's enough. But you keep going up for encores until someone sings the song. But we don't know what the song is. So we keep getting dragged out
by Kraftwerk.
But we don't know what's going on.
I remember that was one of the things, because in Germany they were, theatre sports was the connection. There were other things going on, but it was theatre sports. But you literally would go to somewhere like Hamburg, where they were at the time a younger company who were doing what I would more normally consider the classic theatre sports. They were really down that track. Yeah, and then there was another one in... Then you go to Berlin, and it'd be so arty and so cool. And they'd be
doing the gorillas?
Their own amazing version. Yes. You get in this really cool theatre in East Berlin, you go, these people are amazing. I feel like I'm in some art movie. And then you go somewhere else, and in Munich, they've got a sophisticated style where they talk a lot, but they do... In Munich, they do this thing where all the guys are great at doing husbands with babies. So they have these talky-talky conversations, and they're constantly miming prams and babies in Holland.
And you see that on the trains.
And you could travel through Germany not knowing the language at all, and there'd be this connection language of theatre sports, which is amazing.
Are we totally off topic, or can I continue on this?
No, you can continue. I'll wrap it up shortly, though.
One of the wonderful things about the European audience, in particular the German audience...
They're amazing. I love the Germans.
It's a culture that embraces the arts. And unfortunately, Australia, America, Canada do not embrace the arts.
That's the deal, isn't it?
We know it's there.
About. Yeah.
We go see it. Every politician will say, this city has a wonderful cultural arts precinct, but nobody values it. The money is poured into the big houses, but not the arts. Not the companies that are challenging.
Well, you
questioning.
Are in Melbourne, you've got the better of the whole deal, because in Sydney they just know this
and
shit.
We are really frustrated. But in Germany, you can walk on stage and do an improv show, which I've done recently, and I don't know what the hell is going on, because it's a collaboration. No one really knows what's going on. And the audience goes, we don't understand that, but we applaud you as artists.
I know. It's amazing.
You're given permission to create. Now, I'm not saying we should be allowed to go on stage and do crap. I'm not. I'm saying what a joy as a performer to walk on stage in a culture that wants artistic development, who values that. And you know what? If anybody here is going, that's a load of crap. No, it's not. You go to movies. You read books. You watch TV. You listen to music. You would go to a gallery.
I would come off stage in Germany, and here they'd go, that was great, mate. You're really funny. Are you doing any TV? And that's the other end. Here, what do you do? You know, what do you do to make money? Over there, you come off stage, and they don't know you, and they go, this is very good, So I would like to speak for 3 hours about your theory of how you do this and why you do this. And I would I would like you to meet my family, because this is so marvelous to meet you.
Yes.
And you've literally done a theatre sports show for them virtually, in a thing, and it's been a lovely, fun show, and they treat you as an artist with a capital A.
Yes.
And you walk away, and you come back to Australia, and you go, I want to be treated like that.
Here I have to defend my right to do my craft. There, I'm respected for the craft I'm creating.
It's outrageous.
Everybody here sells it. Everybody will say, our city has the best arts and culture. We have the most dynamic theater. What? Hang on. You don't get to say... We're really off track now, sorry. But you don't get to say...
I was just about to get into my rant about the Brisbane Festival.
Sorry, guys. If you want to rant, grab a beer now, because we're going in. But
every time Patty says, no, take a gulp.
Yes. We can do a drinking game.
Yeah.
Every time I do... Every time I do that, because I won't destroy the microphone, drink. Okay, so... You don't get to say you have the arts and culture community of your city and not support it.
Yes.
Can I say something I believe that might get me in trouble?
Please do.
Gosh.
If you have your convictions, speak freely.
Well, I'm in Canberra this
week. Believe in love after love.
We are in the center hub of politics, but I believe that the government wants to keep the arts poor because artists speak out, challenge, and question. So if you want to keep the government honest, support the arts. Demand that the arts get funding, because if you look at every social change, you will see that right before a period of change in a culture, the artists were singing, painting, and performing what was going wrong in that culture that prompted that change.
And if you are an improviser or an aspiring improviser,
go for it, Nick.
Begin now. Yeah. Begin yes. now to validate what you are doing and what the people you see are doing as a legitimate art form.
Damn straight.
Treat it as one, and do not apologize for what you do. No. Do not pretend that what you do is something different to what it is. We are.
Sorry, guys, have to pack up.
Sure. We have to pack up. It's a long art form.
We've got to go.
Final statement.
Finish, finish that up, Nick.
Validate.
We are people in a lifelong learning process, which is as valid as any other arts learning process. And the work we produce, we should be standing by and not apologising and saying this is an art form, and raising our profile to the same level as other art forms as much as they can be respected in the current Australian environment.
Agreed.
Spectacular.
Guys, yeah. We'll wrap up now. We're being evicted by the bum. He's very nice, though. He's doing it very nicely.
That was lovely. Thank you, guys, for being in that show. I really
enjoyed
that.
Very much to really Nick, nice. To Patty, and to Marco. And I hope to see you all again at the next group and national event.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you very much. And we would love to come back to Brisbane, which is an amazing city, and your festival is stellar. So please, organise another one.
We'll have to do my...
You're all so welcome here in Canberra. Come on down.
You can all come to my place.
Woo! Okay, party at Marco's. And at that point, Marco took his pants off.